Good afternoon, Greenhouse Church. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. My name is Nico Williams. I get the honor of serving as the lead pastor here. And if you are new here, we want to say welcome. We want to say thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your weekend. We are super thankful that you're here. Maybe you already know this. If you're invited, I want to reiterate something. This is a little bit of a preview service. Everybody say preview. That just means that we still got our training wheels on. That means we got some wrinkles that we're ironing out, and we got a launch. Our official launch is coming up in September, September 14th. And so I want to invite you to consider two things. The first thing, I would invite you to consider coming back. Come back next week. Maybe you could consider what it would look like to join our team to help expand the kingdom of God in Greensboro. We also have a special heart for the students of North Carolina A&T. So maybe you could consider coming back or consider being a part of our team. But the other consideration is come back on our launch day. We are expecting God to do some awesome things between now and then. And we are in love with what God is doing. So let me go ahead and dive in with what they call one of those preacher stories. Okay, a preacher story is something that nobody really knows if it's true or not, but all these preachers, they kind of tell the same story. So here's how it goes. There's this village that had a drought, and the drought was so severe that it was preventing the crops from coming up. And so the pastor of that village, he says, why don't we get everybody together? We're going to get everybody together. We're going to pray for rain every day of the week. So the first day, they come together, and they pray, and nothing happens. Days two and three, still, nothing happens. On that fourth day, one of the little boys from the village, he comes to his mama. They're getting ready to go to church. He says to his mama, mama, where is my boots? Where are my boots? Where's my rain jacket? Where's my umbrella? And the mother, she looks up out of the sky and she sees it's a clear day. She says to her son, son, I don't know if it's going to rain. It's a clear day. He looks at her and she says, mama, we've been praying for rain all week. I'm getting ready for a flood. I think it's a silly little story, but I wonder, does that depict how we think about prayer? Like, we are willing to ask God for some really big things, but the question I want us to wrestle with this afternoon is, are you ready if he says yes? Are you planned? Do you have plans? Is your life already ready to receive the blessing that you've been asking for? And so our main idea for today, if you were to take notes, you should write down, we prepare for God's favor through praying and planning. This afternoon, we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah. We're going to start at chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. But if this is your first time with us, you need to know that last week we started a sermon series called We Built the Wall. Everybody say, We Built the Wall. We're partnering with God to present him back to the world. I mentioned this earlier, we are a church plant, but we're launching here in order to see God's kingdom expanded through us. Y'all, God is already expanding his kingdom, but he's invited us to participate. We already know that Jesus said he would be the one to build his church, but he's invited us to partner with him. And so that's what we're doing right here at Greenhouse Church. So, let's go ahead and dive into the text. Nehemiah chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in the presence of sad in his presence, and the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Hey, will you guys go to God in prayer with me? Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you. God, I pray that we will be people who make big, bold prayers, and we align our lives with plans to receive the blessing that we're asking for. God, I ask that you would open up people's ears so that they could hear what you have done in Christ. Open up people's eyes so that they can see what you have done in Christ. Lord, please, I'm asking and I'm begging, would you open up people's hearts so that they could experience what you have done in Christ? Help us to be good at praying and good at planning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me just review what happened last week, okay? In chapter 1, Nehemiah, he's the cupbearer to the king, and his brother Hanani comes from Jerusalem, and Nehemiah asks, hey, how are things going back in Jerusalem? And Hanani, his brother, says, man, our city is in great trouble and shame. The city walls have been broken down. What that means is no walls equals no security. Last week we talked about how if I was a person in Jerusalem and I looked at the city walls, I would be feeling like, man, God's hand is not upon us anymore. The reason being, God told them that if they kept his commandments, that they would be a blessing, that they would have wins in war. And now, because of their disobedience, God was no longer having his hand on them in that particular way. And when Nehemiah heard about this, the first thing he did was he wept and he mourned and fasted for days. The next thing he did was he prayed. He prayed to the God of heaven that God would do something, that he would help give them him success when he met with the king. And so that leads us to point number one, persistent people of prayer. Everybody say persistent. To persist in something means to keep going, to continue on with endurance. The reason that this is point number one is because Nehemiah has been rather persistent in his praying to the God of heaven. You probably didn't catch it, but at the beginning of chapter one, Nehemiah tells us that it's the month of Chislev. Now, where we're reading in chapter two, we see it's the month of Nisan. Do you know how many months that is? Probably not. You're not a Jewish scholar, neither am I. Google told me, though, that it's about 3 to 4 months, depending on when the month starts. There's 3 to 4 months in between Chislev and Nisan. Here's the point, though. Nehemiah has been praying for at least 3 months about the same thing. I told you at the beginning of chapter 1, Nehemiah says it's the month of Chislev, and at the end of chapter 1, he ends his prayer by saying, and give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This is chapter 1. We didn't read this, but this is chapter 1. What's interesting is Nehemiah asks for success with this man today. This means one of two things is happening. The first thing that could be happening is that on the day that he heard of the city walls being in trouble and shame, he was praying to the Lord, hey, Lord, would you give me success as I go to the king today? He expected to see the king today. Another thing that could be happening, which I think is actually probably more likely, is that he's been praying a version of the same prayer for 3 to 4 months. And where we pick up in chapter 2 is the day that it just so happens that the king notices how he looks. He asks him what is wrong. And so, like I said, Nehemiah, he's been praying for 3 to 4 months. Greenhouse Church, I got to ask you the question. Are you praying this persistently? Let me tell you what's common. This is common for me, probably maybe common for you. Something extreme happens in my life. And I bring that thing to the Lord in prayer because it's heavy on my heart. But then as time progresses, I pray about that thing less and less. Not because I forgot, but because maybe I just think that if God was going to do it, he would just do it. And so the more time that has progressed from the event that made me start praying in the first place, the less I begin to continually lift that thing up in prayer. Back in February, our launch team, we studied the importance of speaking to God in prayer. And our launch team, we studied a parable in Luke chapter 18. If you're not familiar with it, I would highly suggest you take a note and search it up later on. But the gist was, it starts, Luke records that Jesus tells this parable so that his disciples would not give up in praying. Y'all, there's this man, his name's George Mueller. He's a theologian. He started an orphanage, and the only way that he would receive things for the orphanage is through prayer. Now, the story is told that he had five unsaved friends. Five. And he said, I'm going to pray for them every day without fail until the Lord brings them into the kingdom. George Mueller prayed for a year and a half before the first one got saved. 5 years passed before the second got saved. Another 6 years passed before the third got saved. And he prayed for the last two up until the day that he died. After he died, the last two got saved. Greenhouse Church, what if we prayed this consistently? Who in our lives would know Jesus? What is the persistent prayer that you need to be praying? What good thing have you given up praying for? Are there friends and family that you have stopped praying for because maybe you think to yourself they are too far gone? Here's a practical tip that you can use for persistence in praying. Set an alarm. I got a friend who's not saved, and so I actually set an alarm on my phone at 8:16 p.m. every day, and I say a prayer for this man. Now, depending on what's going on, depends on the length of the prayer. If I'm, like, out and about, hanging out with friends, when I get the notification, I just say, Lord, save my friend. But if it's a slower moment, I'm sitting at home at the couch, I might say, Lord, save my friend, please. No, I'm just kidding. I might labor in prayer for him, because I really want to see God do a work in his life. Whatever it is for you, find something that's going to work so that you can consistently pray and not give up. Did you notice that he prayed another time in this text? The king saw that Nehemiah's face was down, and the king asked him what was wrong, and Nehemiah responds, "Let the king live forever." Which, by the way, was Nehemiah's way of honoring the authority that God had put over him. Here is Nehemiah. He's heartbroken over a totally different nation and land, and he is still honoring this other king. It actually reminds me of how we are called. God calls us to honor and pray for those in authority over us, whether we like them or not, be they parents, be they bosses in our job, police officers, or even presidents. But Nehemiah continues. He essentially is like, you're saying to me, hey, something's wrong. And Nehemiah says, I can't be happy knowing that the place of my heritage is destroyed. So the king says, what are you requesting? And this is my point. Verse 4 says this. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Here is Nehemiah, having prayed for months. This man is prayed up. He's met with an opportunity to ask the king for whatever he wants, and he prays one more time. Nehemiah must really have some faith in God. See, your frequency of prayer reveals what you think about God. Greenhouse Church, when you pray and what you pray for reveals what you think about God and his ability or desire to answer your prayers. Let me also make this statement. Frequency is about the number of times, not about length. Y'all, in chapter 1, Nehemiah, he prays for 8 verses. It's like verse 4 all the way to verse 11. Here, in chapter 2, it's less than one verse. Frequency is not about length, it's about time. So there are times when you might labor in prayer for a longer season, and then there are times where all you got is, Lord, help me. Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me wisdom. No matter what, praying is praying. You should pray. One of our values at Greenhouse Church is dependence, which just means we don't just want to pray, we have to pray. We know that if God is going to do anything, it's going to be because he decided to do it, maybe even based off of our request. So take a moment. Ask yourself, when do I pray? How often do I pray? What am I praying for? Am I praying for anyone outside of my immediate family? And do I persist in my prayer until God answers? One last thing on persisting in praying. When we pray, it's usually because we have a need or we want something from God. And y'all, there's nothing wrong with that. But what if we just shifted it a little bit? What if we saw the need as an opportunity to come to be with the Lord? Y'all, at Greenhouse Church, our mission is to be with Jesus and to bear fruit. And one of the ways that we can just be with him is by praying. I was challenged in a book I was reading, and one of the one of the authors was just saying, like, sometimes we think we got to fill up our time with what we say to God. Sometimes we can just be with him. They were talking to, as a matter of fact, the story goes, they were talking to Mother Teresa. And she says she was praying and she spent some time in prayer. And the guy says, well, what are you praying about? What do you say? She says, I don't say anything. Well, what do you mean? Like, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm just listening. Well, then the guy says, well, what does God say back to you? And she says, nothing. He's listening too. The idea is sometimes we just need to be with God. What if we took the reason that we're having the need, the reason why we're coming to God in prayer in the first place, as an opportunity to simply be with him? Let's keep going though. Look with me in verses 5 through 8. This is what it says. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Here's point number two, prepared people with plans. Everybody say, prepared. When the king asked Nehemiah what he was requesting, Nehemiah had a clear answer. He didn't stammer. He didn't stutter. He simply said, if I found favor in your sight, send me back to Judah so I can rebuild it. The king asked him, okay, if I do that, how long will it take? And Nehemiah answered him. The Bible says that it pleased the king when he told him. And that's not all, folks. Nehemiah had the audacity to keep on asking. He said, send me with letters of protection so the governors beyond the river will let me pass through, and send me with a letter to the keeper of the king's forest so that he will give me wood to rebuild the temple. And the Bible says the king answered his request because the good hand of his God was on him. Y'all, Nehemiah wasn't just a man of prayers. This was a man of plans, too. He might have even prayed through these plans in his time with the Lord. He had details ready so that when the king asked him, he could say, this is what I need. This is how long it's going to take. I'm ready to go. Greenhouse Church, what if God answered your prayers? Are you ready? Is your life ready to receive what you've been asking God for? What if your neighbor got saved? Are you ready to open up your life so that they can learn what it looks like to align themselves to the will of God? What if God healed your body? Are you already doing what you can to take care of it? What if he gave you the job that you were praying for? Is your heart ready to submit to another boss? Are you ready to be generous and increase your generosity if you've gotten a little bit more money? Are you willing to share with your coworkers about the goodness of your God? What about for Greenhouse Church? What do your persistent prayers look like for Greenhouse Church? What would be required if God said yes? I share with our launch team. We just kind of came together and cast a vision. We would love to see God save 16 people through Greenhouse Church by the end of 2025. Not only do we want to see God save 16 people, but we also want to see 16 people join our team after we launch. And we are not in control of any one of those things. But we can ask God to do it. We can beg God, would you save people? Would you bring them to faith? And so the question that I'm wrestling with, I'm hoping that the members of our launch team will be wrestling with, is if God answers this prayer, are we ready to receive them? Are we ready to invite them into our grow groups and engage with them about what the Bible says? Are we willing to walk alongside someone in a discipleship relationship so that they can continue following Jesus? Are we serving with joy so that when people walk into Greenhouse Church, that we've made an environment for them to meet with Jesus without distraction. The main idea for today's sermon is that we prepare for the favor of God through prayer and planning. But here's something we all need to know. While we can prepare for God's favor, there's nothing we can do to earn it. It's a gift in Jesus. Do you know another word for favor? It's grace. Do you know what grace is? It's not to be confused with her sister Mercy. Grace is receiving a gift that you don't deserve. But mercy is not getting the penalty that you do deserve. Our great and loving God has lavished upon us grace. He extends his incredible favor to humanity by sending us Jesus. Jesus is the gift that we don't deserve, and in the same hand, when we receive Jesus, we also get mercy. If you put your faith in what Jesus has done for you on the cross, this is the way that you receive the grace of God. Let me tell you what this is like. This past week was Jess Beck's birthday. Everybody say happy birthday, Jess. She's back there. Everybody say happy birthday. And so at group this past week, I got a cake for her. Got her a cake, and I brought it to the group. And I said, well, I brought it to the group. It's for Jess, but anybody can have it. I brought the cake for anybody in our group to participate in having it. But the only way that they can have the cake is if they received the cake. In the same way, God has extended grace to all people, but the only way that you have the grace is if you receive the grace. If you receive Jesus. Y'all, when we trust that what Jesus did on the cross counts for us, that is the way that we receive Jesus. This is the way that we receive the grace and favor of God. Because of Jesus, when he lived a perfect life on our behalf, you and I, we've sinned against God. Jesus never did. He took the death that you and I deserve. And then, 3 days later, he rose with all power in his hands. And on the day that we trust in him, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit begins to live in us. And from that day forward, the grace of God, the favor of God rests on us. That just means he is for us, and we never have to doubt that. When we accept Jesus, we also have to continue receiving him as not as a way of saying, hey, I need to get saved again and again. We continually affirm our decision to receive the grace of God. Maybe you're in the room today and you would say, hey, I'm not a follower of Jesus. And you want something like this. You want the favor of God to be applied to you. If that's you, I would encourage you at the end of this service to walk out to our tent. And one of our pastors is going to be out at our tent. And just say, hey, I want to follow Jesus. That pastor is going to walk with you. He's going to make sure you know what you need to know. So that you can make an educated decision about following Jesus. So here's our application. Pray and plan for God to move. Pray like crazy for God to move. And plan like crazy for God to move. Because what if God, in his favor, grants your request? How does your life change? How does Greensboro change? Be thinking about what you want God to do. Our launch team, we got together last weekend and just trying to get things started. We had a launch team retreat. And one of the things that we did together was we just imagined about the things that God could do in us, around us, for us, and through us. We just prayed some really big prayers. If you're new here and you weren't a part of that, I just want to encourage you to identify some big things. Some really big things. Like, they could be like spiritual, and they also could be like practical. Like, we prayed for the salvation of my son. But maybe you should be praying. Maybe you want to pray that you would be a homeowner one day. I wrote down on my card, I want to have a third car so that I can let people borrow it when their car breaks down. What are the kinds of things that you are asking God to do? They need to be big. I started dreaming about what could happen here at Greenhouse Church. Y'all, it doesn't matter. But the thing that I want to call you to is, number one, pray for those big things. And then number two, start to align your life so that you can be ready when God says yes. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean he's always going to say yes. But we need to start preparing and planning for that. Y'all, in just a minute, we're going to go back into a time of worship. And when that happens, I want to encourage you, if you're comfortable, to come down to the altar and submit those things before the Lord. I want to call you to boldly come before the throne of grace. Y'all, there's nothing special about coming down here. But what happens when you submit yourself, your body in this position, something begins to happen in your heart. So I want to challenge you. If you're willing to do that, I want to call you to do that. Let's all pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your great favor. We thank you for your great grace, Lord, that was extended to us when we didn't deserve it. We thank you because, man, you loved us before we knew what love was. And so, Lord, I just pray now for the faith to ask you for big things. God, give us faith to ask you for things that we can barely imagine. And then, God, would you do it? Would you grant us favor in this way? Lord, would you also make us into the kinds of people who are ready to receive your blessing? I pray all these things in your name.